Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth, and co-host tonight, Michael P. McCarthy.
Glad to be here.
How are you, Michael?
I'm doing well. I'm a little smoky.
You're a little smoky, and the allergies were from the pollen before, and now the smoke adds to it, and that makes it even more difficult
just
on you, doesn't
just
it?
Just an attack on my pulmonary system.
Anyway, we're here on an open show, Michael, so hopefully our listeners are out there driving around saying, hey, I can't see anyway. I might as well call and talk to somebody. 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask a question, 410-922-6680. Call in and ask a question. Lead the conversation in the direction that you believe is going to be of most interest to you and most beneficial to you. And we don't care what the topic is. If it's dealing with money and personal finance, we're here to answer it, be it about taxes or estate planning or elder care or IRAs, 401ks, college planning. You know, if it's dealing with your money or your personal finance and you need some help with it, give us a call, 410-922-6680. We'll see what we can do to help you, lead you in a direction to help to solve the problem that you're calling to ask about. So 410-922-6680. People calling first, they're the ones that get the most attention. So feel free to call in. Anyway. Yeah.
Well, no lines yet. So while the listeners are contemplating their next question to call in and ask, I wanted to talk about a topic that I've been hearing a lot of advertising for. And
whenever you hear a lot of advertising, you got to be worried.
A lot of brand new companies offering a brand new service. And it's targeting towards business owners, and it says, hey, if you employed people during the pandemic, the government has thousands of dollars that they want to send to you, and we're the people that can help you get it. So what they're talking about is the employee retention credit that was available to you in 2020, and it was available to you in 2021. And the reason why they're saying you can still get it now is because some people just never were told about it. So there's still the ability to go back, amend those old returns, and get it. But the thing that I'd want our listeners to know is if you're hearing these ads and you're thinking about calling, call an accounting firm. Call a CPA company. Call your trusted tax advisor. That's the person to help you with this, not something that pops up overnight to take advantage of a government program.
Yeah, we've had Eli Knopfler on the radio back in early 2022 talking about this because, you know, that's what tax attorneys do. That's what CPA firms do. They help people with these types of issues. They thought about this a long time ago, and now these firms are dealing with are trying to take advantage of it from a marketing point of view, and I would be very suspicious of them also. Anyway, we're on an open show. We do have a caller on the line. We'll go to them in a second. Just want to give you the number again, 410-922-6680. Who do we have, Mike?
We've got Jamie in Baltimore. Jamie, how can we help?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. So my friend, she bought a house. She sold her house in Catonsville. She bought a house in the city. But and she got a good deal for it. She wants to figure out how she's going to get around. She has to stay in there almost a year or more to reduce her tax burden for the city and state. Is there any way you can figure out what do you do to help herself, to help her out on that, to reduce that tax burden?
When you say that, I'm not sure what exactly you're referring to.
Homestead
because
credit.
He may be mentioning the homestead credit, but if she sold her other house, the homestead credit is immediate to her because she went from one homestead credit approved house to another homestead approved house. Now, keep in mind that when you sell a Catonsville house, right, and you buy a new house, they can reappraise the new house. And now the homestead credit applies to the new valuation of the new house. If she wanted the full benefit of the credit, she should have stayed in the Catonsville house.
Yeah, she made enough money on that. She just wanted to get out. She's had it for 20 years.
Yeah, but, you know, she should immediately have been switching her homestead credit from the house she sold. She goes to the new house. When she gets in the new house, see, with the homestead credit, all it does is it just assures that the tax rate won't move any higher than a certain percentage per year. But when you sell a house and buy a new one, they can reassess that house at the new market value, and then your increase cannot go above a certain point each year. That's how it works.
So she's applied for that homestead credit, and now she's going to stay in the house for a year. But still, if she wants to be if she wants to leave earlier or before a year, she's going to get penalized big time. She's, I was wondering if there's any way to have.
I don't know what you're talking about, because if you're referring to if she makes a lot of money on the Baltimore home and she leaves that house before 2 years, she will pay capital gains tax on that. She won't get the $250,000 exemption. Is that what you're referring to?
Well, sure, you answered that. I was just trying to figure out what could she do to reduce that big burden if she stays in there. And
She make a lot of money on the house already since she bought it?
People were trying to buy it for $200,000, and she got it for $160,000.
Okay. So then the answer to your question is she can sell the house before 2 years, and there are certain rules where she'll get a partial exemption, like $50,000 or $100,000 instead of $250,000, but she has to follow one of the rules. Like, for example, she got transferred to a job that's more than 50 miles or something like that away. She had a death or something of that sort. If you look it up, that section 121 of the Internal Revenue Code, you can see exemptions for partial exemption, okay? I got to go. Be right back. Money, riches, and wealth. This is Drew Tignanelli, and I have a question for you. Is your financial advisor a doctor of personal financial advice? Do you get strategies to reduce taxation, Social Security, Medicare advice, sophisticated retirement planning, investment allocation strategies, estate planning, or help with any issue of money? It is time you do a financial physical with me and my team at the consulate and experience the difference. You hear the depth of knowledge we have about personal finance, so do a financial physical and you'll experience what we believe an advisor should do for you. They should be independent, experienced, credentialed, fee-only, comprehensive fiduciaries. They should be a doctor of personal finance and not salespeople selling you products. Set up an introductory meeting by calling 410-823-SAVE, 410-823-SAVE, or go online, financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com. It's time you experience the difference.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth, here with Michael P. McCarthy, and we're on an open show. All lines are open, and you get to direct the conversation. Anything you want to talk about, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in and ask a question. And, you know, I have one too, Michael, and that is my mother's been going through some difficulties, and as she goes through that, one of the things that I've always talked about to clients is stay on original Medicare. Do not go to Medicare Advantage unless you just cannot afford to pay the premiums and you need that extra coverage and you need the affordability of Medicare Advantage and some of the little extra things they give you. Medicare Advantage is great for a person whose budget is tight. But if your budget is not tight, then stay on original Medicare with your own Medigap policy, and it allows you to control your own medical decisions as you desire, not based on some gatekeeper. When you go to Medicare Advantage, it's like going to an HMO where you have a gatekeeper, and that gatekeeper decides what you need and what you don't need from their profitability point of view. Now, don't get me wrong, and I don't want to hear from the Medicare Advantage people or people who sell them or whatever. you know, that that's too cold-hearted, capitalistic statement to make. They have protocol they've got to do. They can do appeals and peer reviews. And if the doctors can prove that it's necessary, they can't say no. Yes, all of that is true. But let's just take it down to the brass tacks, Mikey. And it's pretty simple. You know, just, you know, if you can afford to stay on original Medicare, stay on original Medicare. Anyway, we're on an open show, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask a question, Mike, you got a couple callers online, so let's go.
Let's go right to Gene in Columbia. How can we help, Gene?
I have a Social Security question. I don't know if you know much about it. I'm sure you do. And I don't have all the facts. A friend of a friend has a woman who was married for 40 years. He remarried after the divorce, and he recently died. The person I'm talking about was getting Social Security based on 50% of whatever he was getting.
His.
Yeah. Now that he's died, she doesn't know what to expect.
What she expects is pretty straightforward, and whoever has the higher Social Security, she's going to get that higher Social Security check. So let's say the spouse that died was getting $3,000 a month, and let's say she was getting half of that, which is $1,500 a month. The $1,500 a month disappears, and she gets the $3,000 a month from that day forward.
Irregardless of whether they've been divorced.
Irregardless, as long as they were married for at least 10 years.
And irregardless of whether he's married in between that.
He could have been married 15 times more to as many women as he could have been married for 10 years each. So let's say he's remarried four times, and each one he lived in, married them for 10 years in one day. All four of them could go back and claim survivor's benefits if they're higher than their own. Okay. And let's say he married a fifth time, and the fifth person he is only married to for 2 years, they can continue to collect the survivor's benefits if it's higher than theirs also. It's totally irrelevant how much that adds up to. As long as they were married for more than 10 years, they have the right to take the higher of the two, either theirs or the survivor's benefit.
I don't think I have enough testosterone to go through five marriages.
I hear you. Now you're supposed to say, I should have never questioned if you were going to answer that question or not.
Thank you, Gene.
All right, we'll go right to Rick in Annapolis. Rick in Annapolis, how can we help?
I also have a Social Security question. I've already started taking Social Security, but I haven't reached my full retirement age yet. And I understand that when I get to my full retirement age, I can suspend my Social Security if I should choose to do that until as late as I'm 70 years old. And I'm just wondering, how do I figure out what my payments would be if I did that and then wait until I was 70 as opposed to what they are today?
So what year were you born? 1958, so you're 66 and 8 months is your full retirement age. So
right.
It's 8% per year. So 8% for 67, 8% for 68, 8% for 69. And so it would be about 3% for the little bit of the 4 months that you have left at 66 and 8 months. So consider it 25 to 26% increase for whatever your benefit is when you hit your full retirement age.
If I, that's assuming I wait all the way to 70.
Every year you wait is 8%. Okay, that's the simple way to think of it.
Okay.
So let's say you're at $1,000 a month when you get to full retirement age, and you wait 12 months, it would be $1,080. So if you just use that simple formula, you're going to be in the ballpark for sure.
That sounds good.
Now, are you single or married?
Widowed.
You're widowed?
Yeah.
Now, you're collecting your own benefit already?
Yeah, I started that when my wife was sick. I quit working to take care of her.
Okay. Well, is her benefit, well, actually, you can't do that now, so.
Her benefit was less than mine. So there wouldn't have been
her benefit was less than yours. I'm wondering, though, if you can suspend your benefit, and I've never done this, so this would be interesting. Can you suspend your benefit at 66 and 8 months and then turn around and collect the survivor's benefit between 66 and 8 months and 70 and then go back to your own at age 70? I'll bet you you can.
Well, now that's an interesting thought.
Well, you know, let's put it this way. Let's assume that you never collected survivor's benefit. I mean, let's assume that you never collected your own benefit. You can clearly go in and collect survivor's benefits until you're 70 and then collect your own, which will be compounded all the way out to age 70. Okay?
Right.
So that you can definitely do. But I've never had someone who had started to collect before their full retirement age and then... spouse passes away in between to start to collect and when they hit their full retirement age. So the question then you have to ask is, can you suspend at full retirement age, start collecting survivor's benefits for that 3.5 years, and then go back to your own at age 70? And I think you can do it, and we're going to do some research on that in between. So you listen up after 6:30, and we'll tell you if we can prove one way or the other that you can do that. Okay.
Okay, I'll be listening. One other.
All right, great
question. One other quick question. Now, if I was to do this, then to replace that income, I would be taking money out of an IRA that would be taxable.
Yep.
And so does it make more sense to use the money out of the IRA?
Well, I don't know how much money you have in your IRAs and so forth, so that's a much more complicated personal question. But the thing that we would suggest is that keep in mind Social Security is taxable also to some degree, and it also grows with the rate of inflation throughout your lifetime. And so I think the IRA will be beneficial to use and so forth. So I wouldn't hesitate to do it.
I guess an 8% return on the IRA would be a lot at this point.
That's true, and that's the thing you have to think about. And, what are your goals? There's lots of questions that I would ask to make a final decision. All right? Mm-hmm. I got to run, Rick. Be right back. Money, riches, and wealth.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're back on an open show, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. And the answer, Rick, to your question, your spouse died, you'd already taken Social Security, you wanted to stop at full retirement age, you're able to do that. The thing that I said, where could you then go and ask for survivor's benefit for that period in between? The answer is no. Social Security says that if you've already started your benefit, you cannot then defer at full retirement age and ask for the survivor's benefit unless the survivor's benefit is more than your own benefit. So if your wife's benefit was more than yours, you could ask for the survivor's benefit. And then if your benefit ends up growing to more than the survivor's benefit at age 70, you can switch back. That's the only option. There's one more option, and that is if you started Social Security just less than 12 months ago, you can pay back the Social Security as if you never took it, and then turn around and collect survivor's benefits until you're 70 and let your benefit compound. So make sure you get good advice if you're in any of those categories. Mike, who do we have online?
Well, this stuff is so simple. It's definitely nobody needs any help to figure these things out.
That's so true.
Well, anyway. Right now, the only person online is me.
You. Okay. Me and you. Well, then we're here lonely. We're on an open show, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in, ask your question like Rick did, like Gene did. And like first caller, I can't remember his name already. That's I can't remember what I had for breakfast either, Mikey.
Yeah,
yes,
that
I
sounds
do.
Well. Yes, you have do.
The same thing every morning.
I
have the same thing every morning for breakfast, so I always remember what I had. So,
Social Security is pretty pretty complicated, but taxes is, you know, even more complicated. And one of the things that you and I were talking about before we started the show is that Maryland, being the state that it is, it has, you know, even extra complications, extra things to consider.
It's a crazy state from a tax point of view.
And one of the things that we see a lot of people have their taxes done or do them themselves and they don't take account of is a lot of times everybody does their federal tax return first and they figure out, well, what's my best bet? Do I get more back if I itemize or do I get more back if I take the standard deduction? And for a lot of people, even maybe some tax professionals, that's where the question stops. But one of the things we see with Maryland residents a lot is if they did have, you know, maybe reasonable itemized deductions but didn't get all the way there, you might want to toggle it and say, hey, what if I force itemization for the federal government? How does that change my Maryland tax bill? And I'll tell you, as one person, it certainly works for me that I get to increase my Maryland refund higher than I decrease my federal refund.
Yeah, it's a complicated issue, Mike, and a lot of people, unfortunately, a lot of people just resign the fact and say, well, I never itemize anymore. And, you know, the point is that if they just bring their itemized deductions up a little, it might save them a boatload of money, and they just they resign themselves to the fact that they don't itemize, and they may have a tax preparer who's not encouraging them to do more. We always encourage our clients to give us more. You have a caller online, eh?
I do. Let's go right to Sean on the Eastern Shore. Sean, how are you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Doing good. What part of the shore are you on?
Cambridge, East Newmarket area.
Very good. My dad's down there in Tillman.
Oh, okay. Yeah, great. It's nice. My question has to do with retirement. We have a place in Delaware that we want to retire to. From a tax perspective, I guess I'm pretty fortunate. I have a pretty good pension that I can take. And bottom line, between Social Security and pension, I probably won't have to touch my 401. So my question is, in so doing, I don't know how much you know, probably a lot, about Delaware tax law, but I'm trying to find out, in my situation, what's the best thing to do, I'm assuming from a Delaware standpoint, if I reside there more than 50% of the time, and that's my residence, where my heart is, as you say, and I call that my residence, then I'm taxed at a lower rate, my income tax. But at the same time, my 401k, I'm trying to get some ideas of maybe what I should do with that.
So what you're saying is you would still have two houses, one in Maryland, one in Delaware, right?
Yes.
Okay. And what you're saying is, though, you're going to, in your heart, change your domicile to Delaware, right?
Correct.
Okay, so in that situation, if that were what you were honestly doing and you weren't working anymore, all of your income taxation would shift from Maryland to Delaware. Delaware is probably about 20% cheaper than Maryland, assuming that your adjusted gross income is $150,000 or more. Is that true? Or is your adjusted gross income under $150,000?
It'll be my adjusted gross without my touching my 401 will be right around there. Maybe
okay.
It might be 140.
Right. So, you know, the thing that I would be doing is I would be looking at the concept of Roth conversions. In other words, taking your 401k and converting it over to Roth and getting that money taxed at the lowest rate that you can possibly get it taxed at. Don't be crazy. Don't do master large Roth conversions. Just do some nice strategic Roth conversions. And while you're younger, before the age of 73, just keep moving hunks of money over to Roth. That's the strategy that I would be employing with a client that moves to a lower tax state. Now, when I say lower tax state, Maryland has done something interesting for people who make under $150,000, and that's this new $1,750 tax credit. The problem with Maryland's $1,750 tax credit for a married couple is that if your income just goes over $150,000 by one stinking dollar, you'll lose the whole thing. I mean, it's just absurd. It's the most absurd thing that I... And if Maryland's budget doesn't come in like they want it to come in, they can cut it all the way down to $875. So... You know, it's a weird state, and I don't know. Even when they try to do something, they don't do it very well.
So, Sean, another thing for you to think of when you're doing those Roth conversions is you want to make sure you keep your income under $194,000, because then you'll blow up your Medicare premiums.
Right. You don't want to blow up your Medicare premiums either. So you want to stay nice, $20,000, $30,000 maybe at the max if your income really is in that 140 range. And just keep pulling it a little bit at a time out, get it tax-free. What general age are you right now?
I'm 60.
60. So you got a good... Actually, your required minimum age is 75, not 73. So you've got 15 years to go that you can pull money out little at a time. Just keep doing it. Getting it tax-free. Make sure you do this with competent tax advice. All right?
Okay, and one last question. The 150 you mentioned, that we're talking about my retired income, right? Not my income now.
You have to be over 65 to get that credit, 1750, whether you're retired or not. You just have to be 65 in Maryland.
Okay.
All right?
Based on the present tax trajectory between Delaware and Maryland, I'll put my money on Delaware.
I would agree, you know, because your property taxes will be lower, your sales taxes will be lower, you know. Anyway, I put my money on Delaware, too, in your situation. Anyway, Mikey, we're on an open show tonight, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask a question, we've talked about taxes, we've talked about Social Security, we've talked about...
Medicare,
you know, we've talked about taxes, you know, all kind of good things. If you want to call in and ask your question, leave the conversation, 410-922-6680 for this last quarter of the show. Plenty of time to deal with at least two or three more callers if you want to call in. We'll be right back. Money, riches, and wealth. This is Drew Tignanelli, and I have a question for you. Is your financial advisor a doctor of personal financial advice? Do you get strategies to reduce taxation, Social Security, Medicare advice, sophisticated retirement planning, investment allocation strategies, estate planning, or help with any issue of money? It is time you do a financial physical with me and my team at the consulate and experience the difference. You hear the depth of knowledge we have about personal finance, so do a financial physical and you'll experience what we believe an advisor should do for you. They should be independent, experienced, credentialed, fee-only, comprehensive fiduciaries. They should be a doctor of personal finance and not salespeople selling you products. Set up an introductory meeting by calling 410-823-SAVE, 410-823-SAVE, or go online, financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com. It's time you experience the difference.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth, and we're going to go right to our callers. Go ahead, Mikey.
All right, Darlene in Baltimore City, how can we help?
Actually, I'm in Baltimore County.
Oh, CT, I don't know what CT means.
I am 76 years old.
Okay.
I was working for a local hospital in Towson for 18 years, and they fired me in April of 2021. They told me I was incompetent. I really tend to believe it was my age more than my competency, because I think I'm competent, but they kept changing computer systems. Every week we'd have new rules. So I lost my job, and I was making somewhere between $38,000 and $39,000 a year working. Well, I have been unemployed now for 2 years plus, and I have yet to collect any unemployment. So needless to say, what little bit of retirement money I had saved, I've put a real dent in those accounts.
Why aren't you getting unemployment?
Well, in order to get unemployment, you used to be able to just go to the unemployment office, but because of COVID, you had to go to the county library to sign up. And I just didn't comprehend on how to do it and how to make them know that I was applying or looking for jobs.
Okay.
So I had a social worker in the county library that they had hired who was helping me, and she spoke to the unemployment office and asked if I were to get a job, would I still be able to collect all my back unemployment? And they told her yes. Now, I don't know if that's really true or not, but I've never made a lot of money.
Right. But, unfortunately, unemployment's not my wheelhouse.
Well,
so.
I'm not calling you about the unemployment. I'm calling you about my taxes.
Okay.
I had my taxes done by a representative that was, I guess, a volunteer through AARP at the local senior center. And I had to file my 2021 and my 2022 taxes. Well, the 2021, I knew I was going to owe them, but I think it's because I've taken money out of my retirement accounts, and every time you take money out, you got to pay taxes on it.
Well, it's worse than that, because every time you take money out of your retirement account, a portion of your Social Security becomes taxable at the same time. So it's a double whammy. You take $10,000 out of your IRA, and next thing you know, maybe $5,000 or $6,000 of your Social Security is also taxable. So you're not just paying tax on 10, you're paying tax on 16. So that's part of the problem that you're experiencing.
Yeah.
What?
So it's a warning to anybody out there that's in similar circumstances.
Well, let me just put it this way, Darlene. It's the most evil tax that the federal government is bestowing upon seniors, and they ought to fix it. They set this law in 1982, and in 40 years, they've never inflation adjusted it, and they've never changed it, and there's not a single politician I hear talking about it, and I hope somebody's listening and finally takes up the cause for the seniors to change this. But right now, I got to go to my next caller, but I agree with Darlene 100% on that one.
All right, let's go right to Steve in Columbia. Steve, how can we help?
Yeah, I have an advisor who likes to sell structured notes to his clients, including me. And my question is, do the advisors get a special, commission when they sell structured notes?
Sure, they get an upfront commission. It's usually 4-6%. It just depends on the type of note that it is.
Mm-hmm.
I've looked these over upside down, backwards, and I know that if you're a salesperson, there's a lot of great things you can talk to people about and convince them that it's a good deal. But as a fiduciary advisor, I have yet to figure out what the benefit of structured notes is.
Well, depending how it's structured, theoretically. It sounds like if you've looked it up and down and inside and out,
we've looked at these things many times and said, why would we do this? if we really just want guaranteed money, we should just go with a CD, we just not into them. All right, Steve, good question.
All right. The last thing you said to callers back, by the way, when you said it gets complicated, I really didn't understand what you were saying, and I'm probably not the only one. And it sounded like it was important.
what were we talking about that we said that?
Before this last caller, before you went to... you were talking state tax, federal tax, and how one can raise and the other can...
That's the Maryland itemized. You can only itemize in Maryland if you itemize your federal. Now think about it. Federal itemized deductions require you to have well over $25,000 of deductions, or because the standard deduction federal is $25,000. But think about it, Maryland, if you take the standard federal, your standard Maryland's all the way back at $4,700. Look at the difference between the two.
Yeah,
and so if you force itemization on the federal and you're only at $24,000, you can pay the federal a little more money, but now turn around and get 19,000-24,000 more deductions in Maryland, and Maryland will compensate you for that. So that's what we were talking about. But we have to run. We're going to Jim in Ellicott City.
Hey, Jim, how can we help?
Yes, hi. Being in the high-tax state of Maryland, as you guys have been talking about, I have concerns about the estate tax because it will affect my wife and I with our assets. So can you explain briefly how a trust can be used to help mitigate the Maryland estate tax?
There are some benefits to trust with Maryland estate tax, but as long as you have portability, there's pluses and minuses to the trust. What you really need to think about when you're in Maryland and if you're saying you're not subject to the federal estate tax, but you are subject to the Maryland based on your numbers. Is that what you're telling me?
Correct.
Okay. What you need to learn about is gifting of money. And
yes,
using
the
federal gift
up to the limit of
money. No. You need to understand gifting in Maryland from a much more complex point of view, using the federal gifting laws to eliminate the Maryland estate tax in total.
Okay.
It's a much more complicated question that I don't have time to go over on this show. But if you give me a call one day, I'll do it with you personally and explain it in more detail.
Okay, very good. But
you just call my office, and no cost. I'm just going to tell you about it. I just don't want to try to do it on a radio show in 2 minutes.
Okay.
All right, buddy?
Interesting.
All right.
Appreciate that. I'll give you a call.
Thanks, Jim.
All right, sir.
All right, we're going to go right to Jim in Easton. Jim, how can we help?
Yeah, real quick. I heard you talk about the spousal benefit. If my ex passes before I do, I could be entitled to her as a spouse. I could be entitled to get the her.
Right. You can get the survivor's benefits without affecting your compounding of your benefits to age 70. Is that what you're asking?
Right.
You were married for at least 10 years?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We were married for 15, and I'm currently married.
Okay. That's fine. Well, when did you get remarried?
30 years ago.
Oh, well, if you got remarried 30 years ago, you can't collect on your ex-spouse.
Oh.
You had to get remarried after you turned 60 years of age. And then you could remarry and get benefits off of either your ex-spouse that you were married to for more than 10 years or your current spouse that you're married to if they, God forbid, passed away before you did. So that's a little twist that we didn't mention when we were talking earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, my friend. That's a good question, though. I'm glad you brought that up because I didn't want to leave a bunch of people hanging on that one. You know, he brings up a very good question. He says, hey, I was married to this one for 15 years, and they passed away. Can I go in and collect on them? And the answer for him was, unfortunately, no, because he got remarried before he was 60 years of age.
Those laws.
There are lots of crazy laws like that. Now, if you're going for a spouse's half of a spouse's that you're newly married to, and you newly marry them after 62 years of age, you can take half of your new spouse's benefits or half of your divorced spouse's benefits. But if you get married before 60, you can't take half of that new spouse's benefits either. So,
well, let me ask you this question. Have you heard about any good books lately?
Yes, The Financial Physical, Mikey, and but I did want to just try to get in this. And now I totally forgot
I
was going
to
get in.
I just wanted
you
to forget.
I don't want everybody. I want everybody to go look it up on Amazon, The Financial Physical.
Andrew Tignanelli.
And I think it's a great addition to help you or your children, understand personal finances in this industry. So anyway, Mikey, we're out of time. I got to go. This is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.
Showery people you love with love. Show them the way you feel. Things are gonna be much better.